Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Today on today's call, we're going to talk about 11 mistakes to avoid when planning your future. Number one, not believing God wants you to prosper. That's a huge mistake. If a bad financial situation develops, it's important that you protect your faith. Joel chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. Joel 2, 25, 26. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and you shall eat in plenty.
That's a great promise.
It is. You can also throw in there Proverbs 6, 31.
True.
Identify the thief, he has to repay you sevenfold.
Amen. Number two, not establishing a plan. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. Proverbs 6, 6 through 8 says, go to the ant, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. The ant has a plan, we should surely have a plan.
That's true. Number three, not starting early enough. Although some amounts seem hardly worth saving, don't miss the benefit of compound interest. Using the example of twins investing for retirement, one begins at age 22 and invests $2,000 a year for 8 years and then forgets about investing anymore. The other decides he'll begin investing when he's 32. He invests $2,000 a year for the next 33 years. At age 65, assuming each earns 8% interest, well, they both will have right at $347,000. That's the magic of compound interest.
That's right.
Someone asked Albert Einstein, what was the greatest invention ever? He said compound interest. And it's true.
That's right.
Pays to start early. Zechariah 4:10, Amplified Bible. Who with reason despises the day of small things? Let me say this too. It's never too early and it's never too late to start.
That's right. Number four, not having a will. Now, this is much more crucial if you're leaving dependents behind. But in 1 Timothy 5:8, we hear these words of warning. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he is worse than an infidel. It is of the utmost importance that a will be prepared by someone who knows the details of your finances, your proposed desires, and the laws of your state. Have your will revised if you change state residency, just to make sure you're keeping up. For example, an entire will be considered invalid for as little reason as not having the proper number of witness signatures required by state law. Review your will every 3 to 5 years and update it accordingly. Sound legal advice can save an entire estate from disappearing into estate taxes and other fees. Both the husband and the wife need a will.
Absolutely. Number five, not choosing legal guardians for children in case both parents die. Although it's unlikely both parents will die at the same time, guardianship is a critical determination. Not only is your estate at risk, but unspecified guardianship can leave your children without proper guidance or substance. It's essential that a reputable professional who is well acquainted with the laws of your state be consulted when specifying guardians and distribution of wealth to your children. In the event that you're deceased before they are, they'll be able to take care of themselves. Galatians 4:1, New Living Translation. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. Even though your children may be left in a state, the guardian is crucial to that estate being preserved and administered as you chose.
Mm-hmm. Number six, not having sufficient insurance. It's essential to have sufficient life insurance to cover estate taxes or fees and provide sufficient money to invest or continue income for the remaining family. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And let me throw in one more scripture. 1 Timothy 5:8. This is the one we read, but I'm reading it in another translation. 1 Timothy 5:8, Classic Amplified Bible. If anyone fails to provide for his relatives, and especially for those of his own family, he has disowned the faith by failing to accompany it with fruits. And it is worse than an unbeliever who performs his obligation in these matters.
Number seven, no money for emergencies. A relatively small emergency can turn into a catastrophe for your finances if you're not prepared. Most financial advisors recommend 3 to 6 months' salary and an easily accessible fund. Of course, the best thing that you can do in an emergency is to follow the advice of Moses in Numbers 14:15. And in the Message Bible, it says, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in front of the entire community, gathered an emergency session. Best thing you can do for preparing for emergencies is pray.
Hallelujah. Number eight, having insufficient information on finances. If one person handles the finances in the home, it's essential that proper records are kept of basic financial information. For example, the location of the wills, insurance policies, stocks, bonds, any real estate records, birth certificates, and anything else would be, well, that would help prevent problems if the record-keeping spouse is not available in a crisis. In Proverbs 18:13 in the New Living Translation, it says, spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish.
Wow. Number nine, never use anyone who wants to sell you an investment as a financial advisor. Even if this person's your best friend, it is difficult, at best, to keep personal gain separate from helpful advice. Remember, when you consider the advice of many counselors, you're still the only one who can decide what you need most. Proverbs 15:22, New Living Translation. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. And how about Proverbs 19:20 and 21, and the New Living Translation? Get all the advice and instruction you can, so you'll be wise the rest of your life. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail.
Number 10, rushing into investment decisions. Your future is important, and money is the reward of your life's efforts. So deciding what to invest in and will take some time and research and advice. It's foolish to make a decision in ignorance when all the facts are available, and many counselors will help. Proverbs 28:20 in the Living Bible says, the man who wants to do right will get a rich reward, but the man who wants to get rich quick will quickly fail.
Number 11, putting all your investment eggs in one basket. Any sound financial advisor will recommend that you diversify your investments. Ecclesiastes 11:2, New Living Translation. But divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risk might lie ahead. You know, there are many lessons, you know, that you can pick up in life. And we want to give you one from a Paul Wilbur event. He's a great musician, man of God. Learning not to interfere with what God is doing in a specific congregation. Understanding the level of the various church leaders and obeying when told not to interact with the congregation at the after-service social. This is being sent to us by our friend Laurel, who several years ago, she and her husband, Randy, who's now in heaven. See, at that event, Randy blessed the pastor, the son of this particular leader, with one of my books. He said thank you and kept going. Randy noted that he may not understand how to receive. When Randy gave the book to Paul Wilbur, Randy said he celebrated the gift. He took it with him to the platform, acknowledged the gift, told the praise band not to touch the book. Holy Ghost power. Well, that's just showing that God is in control. I want to share a little more of this from Randy and Laurel. Said three glorious hours of praise and worship with a bit of teaching from Paul. Randy, at that time, had an opportunity to blow his shofar with others. Multiple levels of praise dancing. Paul shared how God had opened the door for his ministry in Cuba, the son of Fidel Castro requested an appointment and shared his father as Jewish. He goes on and talks about the event. And that Saturday morning, they had a nice chat with the server, Courtney at Cracker Barrel. And here's a highlight of that. And there's a reason I'm telling you all this. They blessed her with one of my books, sewed a $20 tip, instructed her to tie $2, gave her $10 for her to give to someone else as she experiences firsthand sewing cash. Immediately, she said, I know who needs this money. Needless to say, she does her position with excellence. Definitely, God showed up. And it could go on and on and on. There's more to this. But the point in all this, honey, is just being able to bless people no matter where you are.
Because it'll come back to you.
It'll come back to you. And knowing.
Sowing and reaping.
And knowing how to receive.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know how to receive. Sometimes we tell people, you don't need to do that. Of course they don't need to do it, but they want to do it.
That's right.
Or they feel led to do it.
Okay.
So learn how to receive when someone wants to bless you. Hallelujah. And that's important. These 11 mistakes to avoid when planning your future are kind of fundamental, but it's important that we get a hold of. And this, I just felt led to share this. I got it several years back from Randy and Laurel, and there's a lot of good stuff in it that we could share.
A great testimony.
It really is. We sent you a letter, a very moving, revelatory letter.
Mm. Yes, indeed.
On the outside of the envelope, it says unlimited income in your house.
That's right.
Make sure you read it when it comes in the mail. Should be there any day if you hadn't received it already. Hallelujah. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, thank you.
By the way, if you ever visit Krispy Kreme, this is the day to do it. Their donuts have white and green icing on them. Make your tongue slap your tonsils.
Yeah, he had one the other day, so that's why he's...
Oh, I'm...
He's heavy on it.
I'm resisting the temptation today.
All right.
You pray for my willpower.
I will, darling.
Go to haroldherring.com if you're blessed by the ministry of the teaching. Click the button that says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.